You know, eating things sacrificed to idols implies making sacrifice to idols. And fornication is thrown in there because a lot of times idolatry was connected with sexual immorality. I mean, they were doing it, you know, as part of the rituals. Jezebel, the name choice, is very telling. Jezebel, historically, you can read about her in the Book of Kings. She was the patroness of Baal worship. She was the wife of the king of Israel, and she basically was a big fan of the god Baal. And so, in the future, there's going to be a kind of Jezebel. Is it a Jezebel spirit? Is it an individual who's going to become like the modern Jezebel or the last day Jezebel? Who knows? But she is bringing in abomination, abominable doctrines. She's a prophetess. She teaches and seduces them to commit fornication. I don't know what it is in churches. You know, I know people who claim to be serious Christians, sure act like it. They surely act snobby enough to be serious Christians. Right? But they're living with their girlfriend or boyfriend or unmarried partner. Yeah, and I think this is fornication. Who taught them that that was acceptable? Who taught them that it was acceptable to do that? To commit fornication?
They're not ashamed.
They
walk together in public. They smile. They come to family gatherings. They go about their lives. And, oh, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this normal? Isn't this perfectly acceptable in the sight of God? And, you know, perhaps they deceive themselves. Perhaps they say, we'll get married. And I suppose if they do get married, then they're at least partially justified. They've made things right. But what if they break up? What if things don't go that way? What if they split up? Do they repent in sorrow for their fornication and vow never to do it again? No, they just go right on to the next person. That's what modern dating is. It's fornication, and millions of Christians do it. And who taught them that this was acceptable? Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel in their churches. They want to have the pleasures of married life without the risks, without risking to actually committing to something publicly. But I mean, in these days, the line between the two has become, for all practical purposes, I know legally it's a huge line, but for practical purposes, what is the line? It's just basically, there is only a legal line. I mean, is there anything dating partners don't do that married people do besides the legal commitment? They have sex, they have children, they do all sorts of things without being married. They're expected to be faithful to each other. But they want to leave their options open. Marriage would just be an inconvenience for them when they want to move on to the next person. It makes it sort of difficult and embarrassing to switch partners. Because there's still some sort of moray in society that says once you're married to someone, you're supposed to stay faithful. I mean, you shouldn't cheat on your girlfriend, but you can just break up and then go off to someone else. Whereas with a married partner, divorce is still looked on as sort of like, oh, that's terrible. When they refuse to marry, they're defying the dictates of God. When they refuse to do what's right, they're basically saying, well, I don't want to get, I don't want to end up divorced, et cetera, et cetera. So I will just fornicate in lieu of risking divorce. I'm nonplussed. I don't even understand. I got married when I was 21. And I just committed to that and stuck with that. They want to leave their options open. They may find someone better after all. And these same people tell me, I love Jesus. I love him. So we can readily see that fornication is rampant in the church today, and certainly in many churches. And who has taught them this? Who taught them that this was acceptable? Because obviously a generation ago they called that living in sin. You're living in sin. They don't call it anymore. No, that's over. It's not living in sin no more. I don't hear it in the churches. Can't honestly say that I listen to the church as much. But I know that this is in society, that our society has all these people who are Christians and yet doing these things. I know personally people, and I think, where did they learn this was acceptable? I did not live with my wife until we got married. But the adults in our lives were recommending we should live together for a while. Who taught them such things? Jezebel in the church. She's a prophetess. She speaks for God. God doesn't mind if you do that. Go ahead and do that. That's fine. What? God. Oh, no, no, no. That's all right. God forgives. He loves to forgive. So just sin some more and he'll get to forgive you some more. And he gets to do more of what he likes and you get to do more of what you like. The spirit of Jezebel in the church is the spirit of the world in the church, of our idolatrous and sexually charged society. Moving on.
Yeah, I wonder, the things sacrificed to idols, what are our modern idols? I believe the book of Revelation is for the future, but it also has to have some sort of impact on today, meaning there's something we can learn from it, no? There's something we can learn from the past, there's something we can learn. We can see shadows of things that are now and things that were. We can look at the evil of our day and see in the Bible the mirror of that, or a shadow of it. You know, I see our modern idolatry, you know, is our cultural, you know, the major cultural, what would you call it? You know, it's like the direct-to-brain download of the media and the, you know, film, television, cable, all that. And I think from all our cultural influences, we get this idea. You know, because Jezebel was sort of, in the days of Elijah, she was kind of the prevailing cultural influence. She was the queen. And she was saying, we're going to worship Baal. And that was the cultural pressure. She was like the leading cultural influence. Maybe Jezebel is symbolic of cultural influences in our times. The things that, you know, why do I have relations who say, we love God, but they do not love modesty? Why? Who taught them not to be modest? Who taught them to partake of the idol's meat? Jezebel. Jezebel taught them. This is how we worship Baal. We wear tight clothing. We show off our bodies.
We array ourselves in such a manner as to provoke thoughts of fornication. That's what Baal would want.
If you're a man or a woman, it's the same thing.
It's all about pride. We array ourselves with pride. We take pride and we want to be proud. We want attention. We want this, that, the other. Say, oh no, we don't want any attention. We don't want any of that. We're not doing any of that. We're just dressing the way people dress. Well, you're just going after Jezebel then.